Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is Mark Roberts, owner of Affinity Asset Management. Let me just make sure that, all right, I'm getting a thumbs up from out there. I can be heard just clearly. All right, today's teleconference. First off, thank you all for taking time out of your day to get updated on all things stock market and coronavirus related. We have lots of states. We got people from all over the United States listening to this teleconference with a large group from Minneapolis on this call. So thank you, everybody, for listening in. We continue to have very large following on these teleconferences. For clients, louder. I got my earpiece right next to my mouth. I don't know how to make that louder. Well, I hope you guys can hear me. I'm finally being told to go up a little bit louder here, and I got my Bluetooth earpiece right next to my mouth. So again, thank you everybody for coming here today. As you know, this is not something normal that we would usually do, weekly emails and weekly teleconferences. This is something that we started doing about 4 weeks ago in light of all the craziness that's going on out here in the United States, all over the world with coronavirus and the stock market. Just very unusual times, and we just want to keep everybody informed as best we can. And more importantly, try to give it to you in bite-sized pieces that's manageable and it's understandable. So I have everybody muted right now. I'll give you instructions at the end so that we can unmute, and then I will take all questions at the end. We have an investment committee here in our office, and we have a collective 133 years of combined experience in this office, just on the investment committee alone. So that's all things that we are gathering data from what we do with our models and the trades that we place and how we make our adjustments. We have a tremendous amount of experience, and it's these folks here who are helping me gather information for our weekly emails as well as the weekly teleconferences to help get us prepared and get this information out to you. When we get this information, we have all sorts of ways to get it. We get webinars, podcasts, we read reports, we get blogs, we get emails. We get this stuff daily and sometimes multiple times a day from major investment companies. We even got to listen. Mike was listening in here the other day with PIMCO as a special invitation with ex-Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke. And that was by a special invitation only. So that was really cool that we were participating in that and we're that big of a shop that we get to have access to his information as well. Lastly, before I kind of get into this, I know there's going to be a little bit of what I talk about here that's a little bit redundant from the Monday emails as well as maybe what I spoke on in previous teleconferences, but we do have first-time callers that are listening in, and so I want to cover a few of the basics that are important to cover, but most of what I have to say, probably 90% of what I have to say is new stuff. So let's get into some performance stuff. Last week, the stock market was positive, 12.67, as I reported in my email on Monday, which was good. However, since the drop on from the height, I should say, of February 19th, the drop that we have, we're still a negative 18.39% overall in the stock market. This week so far, we're at a negative 1.14, and the market's not quite closed here yet today, of course, but so far through about an hour ago, the market's negative for this week. Our bond models, as I mentioned in last teleconference, the bond models, there's lots of reasons to go into bond models, and I'm going to talk about that here in a little bit. But if we all had a crystal ball, we could all do things differently. And going into bond models is still the right decision. We love that decision. We just would have liked to have gone in the bonds like 1 week later. Having said that, that first week that we got in the bonds, the bond market dropped too just because of sheer massive money coming out of the bond market. But the bonds overall have done their thing and are doing what we expect them to do. And after that first week, we have now almost gotten back to about breaking even on the bonds with still many more days and weeks and months of this to go. So we're very happy that the bonds are doing what they're supposed to be doing and doing what we expect them to do. Since the height of the stock market on February the 19th, we have had 38 stock market days. And in those 38 days, we've had 23 negative days, 15 positive days. Now, let me paint a picture for you guys and imagine a number. Let's say you have $1 million. Your $1 million just dropped 20%. Well, 20% off of $1 million, your $1 million is now worth $800,000. If that $800,000 gets that 20% back, so you lose 20, you gain 20. Now 20% on the 800,000 takes it back up to 960. That doesn't make you whole. You would have to get 25%. If the 800,000 grows 25%, it'll get back to the $1 million where it was at. So basically what I'm trying to say is it takes 20% to lose 200 grand. It takes 25% to get the 200 grand back. It is easier to lose money than it is to make money. It is quicker to lose money than it is to make money. Everybody always, would say to me that my primary job for them is to make the money. I'm going to always deny that and say, no, that's not my primary job. That's my secondary job. My primary job is to protect your money. And I feel like we've done a really good job since then. So let me kind of walk you through some thoughts on more drop stuff. July of 2016, that's the middle of the last big bull market that we were in. July of 2016, the stock market hit 18,500. We hit 29,500, 11,000 points higher on February the 19th of this year. So February 19th was the high mark of this year, and then the coronavirus hit and market went down since then. So it took us 4 years for the stock market to grow 11,000 points. On March 23rd of this year, it dropped back down to 18,500. So it took us 4 years to make 11,000 points in the Dow. It took us 5 weeks to lose it. That's incredible. So we went from 18,500 up to 29,500, back down to 18,500, and now we're hovering around the 23,000 range. All right, so some tidbits. I'll tell you a little story real quick. June will be my 24th year of doing this, and I got a lot of friends all over the United States that are financial advisors. I have a lot of people that I would call just good acquaintances that are financial advisors all over the United States. I got a lot of people here in Kansas City who I would call friends, as well as just super close friends that are financial advisors in Kansas City. And I was talking to a buddy of mine this week, and I can say this story because he's not on his teleconference. You know, he's a smaller office. He's kind of more like a typical financial advisor office. It's him and three support people, and two of those people are licensed, and one is not licensed, more administrative. And throughout this whole coronavirus issue, even though he's a financial advisor like we are, he's considered essential. So he can still work and his staff can still work at their offices or at his office. But he took this upon himself to use this as an opportunity. And I'm reading between the lines, but he doesn't really realize the filter, how it's being heard from what he's saying. And he was almost kind of like he's bragging to me about the choices he makes and how proud he is for what he did, but I look at it completely different. So he's basically working from home, kind of closed down his office. He laid off all three employees so that they can collect unemployment right now. Now, those three employees and their families are drastically being affected by this because unemployment will not replace their paychecks, will not replace their contributions into their retirement accounts and things like this. So that's a major change. Yet he's a financial advisor. He's collecting fees in the accounts, and he's still getting paid without having as much expenses. So this is a way for him to make money by laying off his employees, go work from home, and he looks at it as like, well, this is a moneymaker for him, and his staff won't be hurt too bad in his mind because they'll still collect unemployment, but we all know that's not the same. And he just doesn't realize, okay, how are you servicing your clients? And as we talked about this, all his clients are still in the market, and he tells me his biggest stress is the constant phone calls he's getting from clients. Okay, when are we going to get out, or what are we going to do, and what's the next step, and he keeps advising them to hold on and ride this thing out. And he just doesn't hear how that sounds. But I kind of just sense from the story that he tells is the stress and the anxiety that he has is because of the stress and the anxiety that his clients have. And he's just not seeing it that way. So not only is his clients being affected by his, let's say, lack of leadership, of lack of being a good employer, but his employees are being affected by this. Just something I struggle with. And he's an essential person managing lots of people's money, and he should be in the office and his people should be working and they should be doing all kinds of things that they're not. So not only is he not managing the investments, he's just letting it go up and down, but he's not even providing any service-related ideas and things that they could be doing to take advantage of the markets right now, like Roth conversions that you guys hear me preach about all the time. This is an ideal, excellent time to be doing Roth conversions. Into another story, there's another financial advisor group right here in my own building. They closed down. They're working from home, and they've had packages sitting on the hallway floor outside their office for a couple of weeks. And like several of them just continue to pile up. And I'm thinking to myself, man, why aren't you coming to the office at least every couple of days to check mail, check packages, check something? I mean, sure, they can probably work from home. And this is a, you know, much smaller office than us, but it's still working from home or not. You got to come by and check on these things. Cause I wonder if any of those packages were from clients, something that was important that's just sitting there a couple weeks later before it ever gets picked up. So that kind of blows my mind. Another tidbit is we're going to start, now that we kind of have these things going, we're going to start over the next 4 weeks is having a specialist come on the phone here with us representing one of their companies. Next week, we have Todd Baker with JP Morgan that's going to come on and speak with me. So if these teleconferences last roughly about 40 minutes, I'll probably speak for 15 or 20 and then let him speak for 15 or 20. And I'll tell you here in a little bit what he's going to speak on. But I want you to know, when we have a guest speaker come on to a teleconference like this, the company that they represent is important. The economists and analysts behind them that's feeding them the data is important. But probably the most important thing to me is that we know that person and we know their speaking ability. And we want them to be able to speak in a large session like this to a large group of people in layman's terms and not talk all analyst or economist talk over people's heads. So Todd is very good at that. And so I'm looking forward to having him come on with us next week. So look for him in my next Monday morning email to Monday email just to remind you about that. Update on some performance numbers. So clients who have with us, clients that have all of their money, 100% investment accounts, or what we call brokerage accounts, diversified in their various models, their average drop is about 14 to 20% in loss, while the market has dropped 35% overall. Now, that's not many clients. We don't have a lot of clients that are 100% all in investment-based accounts. Most of our clients have some kind of principal protection products like an indexed annuity in their portfolio of tools in their toolbox of their accounts. And if you take into account what their annuities have done in addition to what their investment fee-based accounts have done, their average loss is more between -8 to -12%. One-third or less than one-third of what the market's dropped. That's huge. Now, part of that's, you know, our drops have been less because of good diversification, and part of our drops has been less because we got out of the market 5 weeks ago. So that's part of it. But having an annuity like that where part of that money never had drops, that's a really big deal. So I just wanted to kind of share that with you. And my last tidbit here is the stimulus package has all kinds of things in there for, you know, small business owners. But as we've been doing more research on this, and again, I'm not an expert on this, and I'd recommend you talk to your CPA and your bank on this, is that if you're a 1099 employee, some kind of contractor, statutory employee, something that your income is 1099, there are benefits there and there for you to take advantage of. So I suggest you get yourself looking at that. So even if you don't have payroll, you don't have any employees working for you, you still have some opportunity there for some packages that might help you out financially as well. All right, let's get on to some straight facts. Coronavirus related. Globally, we have 2 million cases with 129,000 deaths. Here in the U.S., we have 616,000 cases with, let's see, that's up from 399,000 that was last week. So that's an increase of 217,000, which is an increase of 54% just in 1 week. Now, this is people just getting diagnosed. And, you know, and they've got to go through their whole process before they either get healthier or they pass on. But that's a massive increase last week. And they're saying that we're still not at peak numbers yet. Let's see here. Death cases. People that have died so far from the coronavirus is at 26,200. Last week when I did the teleconference, it was at 10,700. That's up 15,500. That's an increase of 145% from this week, from this time last week to now. Those are large increases, and as much as it's terrible to see the death numbers increase, what is really more startling is that the coronavirus cases have increased 54% just from last week to this week. That's just the people getting diagnosed. Imagine how many people are still out there who are not diagnosed, who haven't gotten in to see their doctor. They just think they have something mild that, you know, maybe more severe. There's obviously still a lot of that. In Kansas, we have 1,400 cases with 69 deaths. In Missouri, we have 4,700 cases with 142 deaths. Kansas, the stay-at-home order is going to expire on April the 19th, which is this Sunday. Missouri, the stay-at-home order is going to be April 24th, which is next Friday, a week from this Friday. And the Kansas City stay-at-home order is April 24th. So me being on the Kansas side, but still part of Kansas City, that really applies to us for April 24th. But Kansas City Mayor Quentin Lucas has said that there's a very strong chance this is going to be extended out another 3 weeks. And having said that, we're thinking that's actually going to be the case maybe across the board. This thing's going to be extended, which brings up my next talking point, which yesterday there was a lot of politics in the news. And again, we try not to listen to too much of the news for the news. We like to get our news, I should say, from analysts and economists, but there was a lot of politics yesterday. And President Trump was talking in kind of let's just say his more typical tone. Over the last couple of weeks, he's had a much more somber tone, which is unusual for him, but for obvious reasons. But this tone late yesterday afternoon and yesterday evening was definitely more optimistic. And he was talking about the reopening of cities and getting people back out to society. He didn't exactly put a date on it. He's hoping by May 1st. That's the hope, but they're not going to officially say anything yet. So he's basically out there talking about this. But it didn't take too long for, you know, news reporters, news channels, whatever, to go out there and interview Democrats. Now, they don't interview Republicans for some reason. They were interviewing Democrats. And it didn't take too long for the Democrats to quickly talk about, this is too soon, this is a bad thing. And all of a sudden, this whole coronavirus and the protection and the stimulus package was 100% agreed upon, voted for the stimulus package. But now the timing of when to get back in, now it becomes a little bit more of a political game. And, you know, we hate to see that, but but on the flip side of it is, if we probably had a Democrat president, the Republicans are probably doing the same thing too. It's just politics being politics. Let's see here. We also have multiple sources saying that, multiple analysts and economists are saying that the deficit has, taxes have to go up here in the near future because the deficit's taken a big jump. We're already at $22 trillion, and we just took out a $2.2 trillion stimulus package, and that doesn't even include the massive, let's say, economic backlash that's going to be happening for quite some time to come from this. That's going to hurt the economy. So there's likely to be an increase in taxes. And now, it's not going to be an increase in taxes this year in 2020, but there could be an increase in taxes, you know, maybe as early as 2021, you know, into next year. Once either President Trump gets reelected or a Democrat would take over, then there might be as early as next year. So that's another reason to take advantage of tax saving strategies this year, while you know what the tax rates are and you know they're lower, and they're not likely to go lower next year considering this deficit and considering the stimulus package. So try to take advantage of these things this year while you can. All right, highlights from analysts and economists. Now I'm going to read you some stuff here. So this isn't me trying to put this into my terms. I'm actually going to have to read you a few things here. Let me start off with a couple of stories and give you an understanding as to why we don't watch the news. We know all of you listening on today's teleconference here, you get your source of information from the news. So it's either online, you know, through the computer, you're getting it through your TV, you're getting your news from the news. Again, we get it from analysts and economists. So I just want you to kind of hear how the news portrays things. So CBS Market Watch. Procter & Gamble, the big company Procter & Gamble, is going to increase its dividends. Now, that sounds good. They're going to increase its dividends even though the market is the way it is right now. And that's because they're a massive toilet paper giant, and there's a run on toilet paper. It's very profitable right now. So they're going to increase their dividends. Not something we'd typically hear from an analyst or economist. Now, here's the next part. There is no way this is only going to be a few months. Until there is a vaccine, the next 12 to 18 months will be a wrecking ball. Most people will turn from hoarding toilet paper to start hoarding cash. This is one of 14 problems we now have because of the shutdown. People will change their thinking. If they get a job, it goes to savings, not going to buy the next, you know, $1,000 iPhone. The next big thing will be frugality and resourcefulness. Epic savings will be the new norm. Spending, and thus the economy, will suffer greatly. Couple that with the underlying fear of the virus that's still out there, and you have a recipe for the disaster of the next 18 to 24 months. This will make the 2008-2009 Great Recession look like a little mud puddle. So I'm telling you this because that's how the news portrays its information. And although there may be elements in all of that that's true, it adds a huge amount of emotions and drama. And that's what the news portrays. I mean, that's what they want. They want us to watch their TV stations so they can charge for commercials. They want us to look at them up on the internet so they can charge per click, and the advertisers that are out there. So that's how they make their money. Here's another interesting story that we got. For a lot of us in the Kansas City area, this is a nice, fun one here. The Chiefs winning the Super Bowl helped prevent the spread of coronavirus. Yes, this was a story. The coronavirus is already in California before all this was announced. And had the 49ers won the Super Bowl, the 49ers would have had a big old parade. And San Francisco, of course, is a lot bigger than Kansas City. And I think we had something around 1 million people in Kansas City at our parade. Imagine how many people would have been at the San Francisco parade, shoulder to shoulder, right in front of each other, breathing on each other. The article goes on to talk about how the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, saved lives, because the coronavirus wasn't at that time in Kansas City like it was in California. I'm like, goodness. Now, that's kind of a fun piece of news, of course, because we all, you know, those of us who love our Chiefs, that's fun news. But that's just how the news portrays the news. Now, let's get on to some more serious stuff that we get from analysts and economists. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the real unemployment rate is now up to 8.7%. JP Morgan. Here's some positive news from JP Morgan. The five most vulnerable and hardest hit sectors in the workforce is hospitality, leisure, retail, restaurants, and transportation. These five sectors account for one out of every five jobs in the overall economy. However, these five sectors only account for 19% of the overall S&P earnings. So even though it's a big industry and employs a lot of people, it's not as major of an impact on the market as other companies would be. So that's kind of their positive spin. But they also believe that unemployment is going to top out at 15% by the end of April. Now, that's in the positive section, so I'm not sure if I'd call that positive, but I think their view of making this positive is they don't think it's going to get worse than unemployment going to 15%. And again, I just reported that unemployment right now is the real unemployment's at 8.7. So they're thinking by the end of April, by the time the end of April comes around, which is just in a couple weeks, that tells me that they're thinking unemployment can almost double from what it's at. Ugh. All right, some negative news from JP Morgan. The recent positive spike in the market has been nice to see as far as the enthusiasm for the market and the desire to return to normal market conditions. However, JP Morgan feels that the bottom is not quite yet due to upcoming poor economic data. They also feel that the transition to, quote, the normal economic times is far from clear. Items such as changing consumer behaviors, such as staying away from restaurants and crowds, etc., and a massive shortage of testing could result in having a second wave of lockdowns. All this, as well as the possibility of the lockdown ending too early, could feed back into massive sell-offs in the market. So there's just a lot of things here that they're saying is going to have a factor on the market and what the market could be doing. Again, still contingent on how the president wants to open things up and let us back to society. Then it's going to be trickled down to the governors of the states to actually officially do this, because every state is different, has different populations, and so on. CNN stock buybacks in 2019, S&P companies injected $729 billion into the market through stock buybacks, where they're basically repurchasing their own shares. And when a company repurchases its own shares, the stock price goes up, because basically what they're doing is they're buying back their stock, taking some of the stock, let's say, out of circulation, out of the market out there. So less stocks in circulation means the value of the stock goes up. So companies do that. It's just kind of part of the norm. But there was $729 billion last year. This year was expected to see just as much, if not more, buyback activity. But the economic impact of the coronavirus has completely upended that forecast. The stock market is in for a rude awakening as some $364 billion worth of buybacks suddenly vanish thanks to this economic downturn. Share repurchase programs will see a significant reduction across the board in 2020, and that removes an important layer of stability that has propped up the market for the past decade. Buyback suspensions could drain $364 billion from the stock market. So, again, you don't hear that stuff in the news, but because of what's going on, companies will be buying back less stock of their own stock. Therefore, if that happens, the stock price is not going up from that, and they're still keeping a lot of shares out there. So that's just another negative impact of how this is going to impact the overall economy, impact the stock market. So I mentioned that Mike was listening in on a special teleconference with PEMCO with Ben Bernanke as the guest speaker, and some highlights from that. Now, Ben Bernanke, if you guys remember, was a Fed chairman during the 2009 crisis that we had there, and he was extremely important at that time, and is probably known as one of the best Fed chairpersons that we've ever had, and did a great job of getting us out of that funk that we were in with the banks and the mortgages and the real estate, and then to get the economy growing. And not only did it, he got the economy back up, you know, with all the help that comes with that, but it was also got the stock market back up and running as well. So he was very instrumental in a lot of things. So what he says here is, like in 2008 and 2009, the central banks are coordinating their efforts and they're keeping U.S. dollars in reserve in foreign central banks. Bernanke is also not concerned about the growth in the federal balance sheet. Not concerned. He does not see negative rates on the horizon. Negative rates is when you go give us money, we go buy a bond, so you can intentionally lose money, because putting it in a bond, you got to lock in and guarantee a loss versus putting it someplace else where you could lose more. I don't even know the last time, to be honest with you, that we've ever been in a negative interest rate environment. But he's saying he does not see that at all on the horizon throughout all this. the current Federal Reserve Board is using his playbook. The things that he did back in 2008, they're saying they're using his playbook, but today's version of the Federal Reserve Board actually is moving a whole lot quicker than what he was able to move back in 2008. So he's kind of like complimenting them, but he's also complimenting them by saying they're using his playbook. So it's kind of like a pat on the back a little bit. All right, so some opportunities here for you guys. Reminders that all RMDs have been waived. So if you are over 72 and have retirement accounts, those RMDs have been waived. If you inherited money from somebody in your family or whatever that has given you an IRA or some kind of retirement account and you have been forced to take withdrawals, that has been waived. So the importance of that, saying that's an opportunity, is there's a lot of folks who take their RMD withdrawals, because how this works is when we turn 72, let's just call it this part of the rule, I'll just explain this part of the rule. You turn 72, you're required to take a withdrawal from your IRAs and your retirement accounts every year. And it's right about 4%. By the time you're 82, 10 years later, it's doubled. By the time you're 92, 20 years later, it's tripled. This is a formula for the IRS to say, hey, we know you have money that's sitting in retirement accounts that's never been taxed, and we're going to force you to start taking withdrawals. We're going to force you to start paying taxes. And if you don't take the withdrawal and pay taxes, we're going to hit you with a 50% penalty. Well, they're not telling you to spend it. They're not telling you to reinvest it. They're just telling you to start getting it out little bit by little bit every year out of your IRAs. And so that's the downside about those kind of retirement accounts is we save a little tax today and we get clobbered later. And the tax savings we have each year is nowhere in comparison to the taxes that we're going to owe down the road. So folks that have RMDs, when you take your RMD, the RMD amount cannot go into a Roth IRA. So if I was 75 years old and I'm required to take out $10,000 this year out of my IRA for the RMD rules, I'm going to take out $10,000 and pay taxes. But this year, because the RMDs have been waived, I don't have to take out that $10,000. I can save the tax on that. So that's kind of a positive. Or I can actually take my RMD and take that $10,000 and put it into a Roth IRA. Still just as taxed as it would be if I would have taken it out because the RMD rules, I'd be taxed on the same $10,000. But with RMD rules, you can't reinvest that money back into a Roth. And since they're waiving RMD rules this year, now you can take that money and reinvest it into Roths. And a Roth will grow tax-free for the rest of your life. So, you know, another thing here is back on the subject of Roth conversions here. All right. So what's the benefit of a Roth? A Roth, when you put your money into the Roth, it will grow tax-free. You can withdraw it down the road completely tax-free. It'll go to your beneficiaries completely tax-free. And there's no RMD rules on it. A Roth IRA is a tax code. An IRA or a 401k, those are just tax codes. How you invest inside is the actual investments, and the investments are what make you money, it's what lose you money. That determines your level of risk. But the fact that it's a Roth IRA makes it tax-free forever. And with taxes having to go up with this massive deficit and that kind of stuff, then you can see that the need for some tax-free money down the road. So pay a little tax today will save you substantial taxes down the road. The other problem that come with your IRAs and, you know, your 401k kind of monies, in addition to the RMDs, when that kicks in and you're now 72 and older taking these withdrawals, number one, it causes your overall taxes to go up. Number two, it causes your Social Security tax bracket to go up. And number three, it causes your Medicare premiums to go up. So it's kind of like a triple whammy of negatives, all because of the RMD rules. If you have a Roth IRA, you avoid all that. So the goal is to minimize the IRAs, maximize your Roths, shrink down the IRAs so you shrink what the RMD will be, you'll shrink what your future taxes will be, and you'll pass down a bigger inheritance to your kids because they will inherit less IRA money to pay taxes on, and they'll inherit more Roth IRAs to be tax-free on. So Roth IRAs have many advantages, and the regular IRAs and 401k plans have really less advantages. On to another subject, I just want to make sure I kind of clarify this because I'm kind of second-guessing myself as to how I said something in a previous teleconference. Part of the stimulus package is waiving the penalty for those of us who need to take a withdrawal from our retirement accounts under the age of 59 and a half. Normally, if you take a withdrawal from your retirement accounts, you always pay tax. But if you're under the age of 59 and a half, you will pay tax plus a 10% penalty. Well, that's being waived this year. I'm second guessing myself on how I said it before because I want to make sure I'm clear on this, that they're now allowing us to take up to $100,000 out of our 401ks at work or our personal retirement accounts, like an IRA. We can take out up to $100,000 if you can, you know, somehow say that this is coronavirus related, you've had some kind of hardship from the coronavirus and you needed to tap into your retirement accounts. You'll still pay tax on that money, but you won't have that 10% penalty. So I just want to be clear that, you know, that the penalty is waived, but it's waived on all of our retirement accounts, not just waived on 401ks. So it's also waived on IRAs, 403bs, TSAs, up to $100,000. Next topic here is probably one of the most common questions I get. So Mark, what's your guys' plan to get us back in the market? And, you know, the plan is we're looking at this on a day-by-day basis. Seriously, day-by-day, drop-by-drop, and the information that's causing this. So we're on a little bit of a rally. So if you can imagine, we had the first leg of the W. The market on February 19th was at the top of that W, and it came down very quickly down to 18,500. So 29,500 down to 18,500, drop 11,000 points in a very quick period of time. That's the first leg of the W. The second leg of the W, it's on its way back up. That's because of a little rally from the stimulus package and enthusiasm and optimism about that. So now the market went from 18,500 up to 23,000. So a little bit of a rally. But again, as I reported earlier, that we're still negative 18% for the year. So there's still a lot of things that are going to happen. And we can see this happening. We can, analysts and economists know it's going to happen. It's just when it's going to happen. We're going to have another third leg of that W where it's going to go back down. And that's what we're looking for. We've established a couple points, the high point, the low point, and the next high point. The next high point has been 23, and that's kind of where we've been hovering. So the fourth point, with the next time down the W, is where we're going to be looking at getting back into the market and taking our IRAs and our Roth IRAs and our fee-based brokerage accounts. That's what we're looking for, in taking 50% of our bond money and putting it into stocks. We already know what stocks we want. We have already back-tested it. We've researched it. We got it approved by compliance. We know exactly what mix we want to have. And we're going to be in stocks for a little bit. And for that period of time when the market went down or goes down, we will go from being 100% bonds to being 50% bonds, 50% stocks. So middle of the road risk, or slightly middle, less than middle of the road risk. And then when we have the next wave back up, maybe the next rally, the next enthusiasm comes back up, then we'll sell out of the stocks and go back to being 100% bonds. This is what I call cycle trading. Again, not making any promises. I don't have a forecast, don't have a crystal ball. People just ask me, what's the plan? The plan is we're literally looking at this day by day, and we are ready. We're just waiting for the market to cooperate and give us, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 days, maybe a week or 2 weeks in a row where the market's down. But it depends on how fast it goes down, how big a jumps it takes going down. It depends on what's causing, what's the information causing this. And that'll determine, okay, do we do it today? Do we do it tomorrow? And you know what? It's never going to be the perfect day to ever get out of the market, never going to be the perfect day to get in the market, because nobody's got the crystal ball. But we want to do it at the right time to be making significant improvements in our portfolio and actually use these W-shaped market environments right now as a way to make money. Whereas I was telling you a couple stories earlier about financial advisors. I got bunches of friends that are financial advisors, and they're paralyzed themselves. They don't want to get out of the market. They don't know what to do. They don't have the trading tools to impact all of their clients' accounts quickly. They'd have to do it one by one. They don't have the staff nearly as brilliant as my staff to be able to do these kind of things. So they just do nothing. And that's kind of how the industry is bred, is they beat us up as advisors. You know, hold on, write it out for the long, you know, you're in it for the long haul, and the market always comes up. Well, you know what? Yes, it has. But if this market cycle, for example, I gave you the example earlier that it took, took 4 years to make 11,000 points in the Dow, but it took 5 weeks to lose it. So what if the market's down for, I don't know, let's say 10 months? What if it's down 10 months? And we've only been down 2 months right now. But what if it's down 10 months? Well, how long is it going to take to recover that 10 months? 4 years, 5 years to recover it? That's a long time to sit around and do nothing. Hold on, write it out. And that's what we don't want to do. You're paying us to grow it. You're paying us to protect it. You're paying us to manage it. And we take that extremely serious, all of us here. Lastly, I want to mention opportunities for you. In-service rollovers. If you are working, I recommend strongly for you guys to pick up the phone and call your 401k company. Don't call the HR of your company. Call your 401k company and ask them if you have access to what's called an in-service rollover. In-service is in-service, meaning I'm still in service. I'm still working. I'm still adding to my 401k. I'm still getting an employer match to my 401k. I just want to roll it over while I'm working. And most 401ks allow this these days. And the goal is to get your money out of that 401k, get it over to your IRAs with us, so that now you have us. You have us managing it. You have our brain trust. You got our technology. You got our experience. We have an unlimited menu, basically. You know, for the most part, we have unlimited access to tons and tons of investments that are out there. Whereas in your 401k, you just have a menu. and you have no financial advisor, you are the expert, and you don't have the trading tools and that kind of stuff. So ask if you can do an in-service rollover. There's no cost to do it on your end to get out of the 401k. There's no cost to move it over to us. There's no taxes because it's a rollover. So I highly recommend everybody write this down, in-service rollover. If you're still working, call your 401k company. Don't ask HR because HR people don't really know the answer to this because that's an investment-based question, and your HR department deals with a ton of things. They're not dealing with investment decisions. So that's why you want to call the 401k company. All right, so wrapping up a couple things here. Some reminders. Please feel free to share our emails on Monday morning with your friends, your family, your coworkers, that they can read this information and that they can also choose to opt into our teleconferences. So that's just a reminder on that. A reminder on why are we in bonds? I still get this question from time to time, so let's just hit on this again. Why are we in bonds? If we felt this coronavirus stock market drop that has dropped so quickly in the last few weeks, 5 weeks, if we thought this was just going to be a few weeks and then it's going to recover and come back up, we would have just gotten out of the stock market, gone to cash, and we'll get back in the stock market pretty quickly. But we don't think that's the case at all, and clearly we're already being proven to be right. We think this is going to be many, many months of dealing with this kind of, let's just say, muck in the market. And while we're in this muck, you know, down, up, down, up, down, up, we might as well be in bonds, taking out the volatility, take out the risk, take out the loss of the stock side of things, and just have a nice steady stream of dividends. The dividends on your bonds get paid most of the time, they're monthly, but sometimes they're quarterly. So you have a steady stream of dividends being reinvested back into the account that helps it grow. Interest rates just recently dropped, so that helps the bonds grow. And then part of the stimulus package is that the stimulus package is going to use that money to buy bonds, which will also help make the bond market go back up as well. And all of this in the bond accounts that we have now all keeps your accounts liquid. So the snap of a couple fingers, we've had a couple of days of data and we're ready to jump on an opportunity and get 50% of your money out and go over into the stock side. Those bonds are liquid. So there's no maturity dates on these bonds or anything like that. These bonds are also high-grade corporate and government-type bonds. We had taken out from any of our bond portfolios, we had taken out high-yield-type bonds, and a high-yield bond is a little riskier of a bond, pays a much higher dividend, but it's got more risk. We've taken those out, and it's a good thing that we did because high-yield bonds have dropped an additional 15% since we got into bonds. So I'm glad that we did that. And we went with a much more just a very conservative approach to how we want to protect our money and yet be liquid to get back in. So the idea is, why do we go bonds? It's a way to make a little bit of money while we're kind of sitting in idle waiting for opportunities. And bonds will certainly make us more money than cash. And bonds don't have anywhere near the risk or the volatility of the stock market. So that's why we did bonds. Let's see here. Next is just a reminder as well that we have expect some rallies. I would say we're kind of in a tiny little short rally right now, even though the market's slightly negative for this week. It's normal after a stimulus package to have a rally, or have several rallies, I should say. In last week's teleconference, I pointed out that there were six rallies over 9% in growth after that stimulus package, but yet the stock market bottom didn't actually hit until 6 months after the stimulus package. So we're expecting, like again, several versions of this W, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, before we have the long-term up, 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 back into the next bull market. So that's just expect these little rallies, and don't let these little rallies create too much enthusiasm, too much excitement on your part. Take it with a bit of a grain of salt. We're looking at these rallies. We're watching these rallies. We're looking. We want the market to go up. Trust me, we do. And if it goes up enough, we want to get back in the market because we think this is the next wave of the long-term growth. That's what we want to do. But we don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. And we have months of, you know, uncertainty. So just don't get overly excited about the little rallies is what I'm trying to say. Again, speaker next week is going to be from J.P. Morgan. His name's Todd Baker. I already have his topics that he's going to speak on. Here's his four topics. It's going to be social distancing vulnerability. And I think we kind of alluded a little bit about that earlier, about what's the new norm going to be like, and people are still going to be wondering if they go back out in society, if there's going to be a reoccurrence and another breakout of the coronavirus. So people are not necessarily going to jump right out. He's also going to talk about the oil and energy sector. He says, prepare for recession, position for a rebound. And then the last one is, stay updated, not inundated. In 2 weeks from now, 2 weeks from today, our next speaker is going to be Michael Turner from American Century. American Century is here local in Kansas City. I'll have to say from overall, you know, pretty good company. Not my favorite, but it's a really good company. But they have some really good analysts and economists at that company. And Michael Turner is an outstanding speaker. We've known him for a long time. He is like Todd Baker. He will come onto our teleconference. I'll speak for 10 or 15, 20 minutes, and he'll speak for 15, 20 minutes. And he's going to give you some very relatable things that you can understand without talking over your head. Having said that, we were kind of having this joking conversation, me with some others here in the office last week, and it kind of still stuck in my head. We were talking about when this lockdown is opened back up and we can all get back out in society. What's the first thing people are going to do? And we had some people in the office say, you know, go out to eat, you know, go sit down in a restaurant and have a dinner. Some people say, go to a bar, you know, go hang out with friends, go to a bar. My comment is, I think people are going to go to, you know, the beauty salons. They're going to get haircuts. They're going to get their hair colored. They're going to get their fingernails done. I think, I know me, I'm pretty shaggy right now. So I kind of see that as one of the first places that's going to go. So that concerns me because that's back out to exposure of people actually touching you. And does that kind of restart up the coronavirus? But you know, we're just jokingly having that fun conversation. All right, guys. So having said that here, I have been talking for right about 40 minutes. If you have questions, I encourage you to ask your questions. But here's what I need you to do. Hit *7 on your phone. *7 will unmute you individually while keeping everybody else still muted. Shout out a question. Sometimes there's a couple people that shout out questions. Just get it out. Get your question out. I want to make sure we can all hear it. If I think you talk too soft, I'll repeat your question so everybody else can hear it. But does anybody want to start and fire a question at me that I can help answer? And again, *7, unmute you. Yes. Well, Miss Cindy, that's a good question. The stock market has dropped by far, not even close to the bond market. The bond market, since we've been in bonds now for about 5 weeks, four of those 5 weeks have been positive. We've only had one negative week, and that was the first week we got in, and that was the 1 week that the stock market and the bond market both went down so badly, and it was the single worst week in stock market and bond market history at that time. But the stock market is still negative from then. So no, it's not even close. The bond market has done way, way better than the stocks, and for obvious reasons. It's just not as volatile. But good question, Cindy. Next question. Oh, I don't know that I have it for today's teleconference to be precise to say from that point, what's the market done from that point versus what the bond market has done from that point. I don't know. I don't have that. I've been tracking all of our numbers, and I kind of reported some numbers earlier, but I don't know that I have that for this teleconference. I can look that up, and if you want to email me or something, we can certainly email you back that answer to those numbers. Good question, though. Anybody else? Go ahead. I don't know that inflation, Cindy, is really going to impact how we invest itself. There's way too many other things that will drive the stock market and drive the bond market, and inflation is not one of them. At the end of the day, we're trying to outperform the market relative to your risk. So using that as the example, if you have a number three model, and a number three model is typically a 60% stock, 40% bond portfolio, then you know you should be roughly expecting to make 60% of what the market makes and 60% of what the market loses. And so we're always benchmarking ourselves that when the market goes down, we expect to lose less than 60%, and we expect to make more than 60% when the market's up. So we invest based on what the conditions are at that time for diversification. Inflation is not really one of them. Inflation just eats away our dollars. But I don't think that's going to impact what we do. Next question. Hey, Mike. Well, Mike in Arizona, I hope you guys are doing good out there. It's good to hear your voice. I haven't talked to you for a while. All right, so to answer your question on Roth IRAs, let's say hypothetically, just make up a number, which I know you're not. Let's say you're 90 and your RMD is waived this year, and you know your life expectancy isn't very long at the age of 90, and you're going to pay a big old tax this year to do a Roth conversion. Am I going to live long enough to make it up? You might not. And it's not just about making it up for you, it's also making it up for your kids. So when we all understand that our retirement accounts, like IRAs and 401ks, Uncle Sam is going to get his piece of our money regardless of what we do, because it's taxable to us when we take a withdrawal. There's forced withdrawals once we turn over 72 and we have this RMD rule. So there's forced withdrawals, therefore forced taxes. It's forced to be taxed to our kids. The new tax law went into effect the first of this year. That kids, when they inherit our retirement accounts, can no longer spread the tax over their entire lifetime. Kids now have to pay their tax over 10 years. You know, the first 10 years from when mom and dad have died, they got their inheritance, they have to pay the tax on all that money within the first 10 years. That accelerates this. So Uncle Sam is going to get his money one way or the other. We're just showing you how to do this and give him less of your money. And Roth conversions is a step in that direction. I mentioned last week I did a very large conversion of my own money. I'm not going to be looking forward to the tax bill at the end of the year on this. But I'm telling myself, small price to pay to have the entire rest of my life, all of that money to grow tax-free, all of my life to have access to it tax-free, and never in my life will ever have RMDs. Then when I die, it's going to go to my family tax-free. So it really doesn't matter how old you are never ever too old to save on taxes. And that is a major, major problem people have, is they think I'm too old for this. No, you're not. You're never too old to save taxes. And even if it's somewhat of a break even in your lifetime, because we don't have the crystal ball when you're going to die, we don't know when that's going to be, but even if it's somewhat of a break even, then your kids come out ahead. Regardless, the person who's losing on this is the IRS. So we always encourage people to take advantage of those things. Good question, Mike.
Just in
Oh,
case.
absolutely. No, you can invest in one. You're welcome. Yeah, anybody can open up a Roth IRA, whether you are working and you want to do a contribution, or you're retired and you're going to do a conversion. Any of us can open up a new Roth IRA. Now, while I'm talking to you, a good question, by the way. While I'm talking to you, Angela just came in and put a note in my face and said, Governor Laura Kelly here in Kansas just confirmed the pushback date of the lockdown now to May 3rd. Like literally just in the last couple of minutes. I mean, this information is just ever changing so quickly. So now we are now in lockdown until May 3rd, and I don't even know what that means for Kansas City. I'm sure Kansas City will follow suit and push it back as well. All right, anybody else have any other questions? Oh, you guys are making it easy on me today. I'll give it another minute. Oh, well, then if you give me the answer, can I make up a question? Go ahead, what do you have to say? Wow, that was super awesome. Is this Saul? Vince, okay, I'm sorry, Vince. All right, I knew I recognized your voice. All right, all right. Thank you, Vince. I appreciate that compliment so much. Right, thank you. Anybody else have anything else for me? All right, so here's my last housekeeping, please. You have requests. You want to do a Roth conversion, you have questions, just please understand that Mondays and Wednesdays we get inundated because of the emails and the teleconferences. Please do me a favor and email us in this office. Use one of the emails that you have from us. You can use my email or somebody else. Send us an email with what your question is or what your request is, and trust me, we will get back to you as quickly as possible. I think we're able to get everybody's messages returned within 24 hours. It might not be the same day, but typically within 24 hours. We just got a lot of folks with lots of questions, and we don't want to shortchange anybody or be rude to anybody. We want to make sure that their questions being thoroughly answered, and more importantly, to make sure that they understand the why that is the answer. So shoot us emails if you would please with your requests. Other than that, any last minute questions before we disconnect? Yeah. Yeah, what's your name? Hey, Doug. Yeah, and you're right, that's a technical question, and that's a good technical question. Think of it this way, as any good diversified portfolio, you will never have all of your investments all making money equally. Some will make more than others, some will be a little flatter than others, and some will lose. You're not gonna get all the bond market doing all the exact same thing. So that particular bond fund you were referencing is more of a government bond fund. And right now, because the corporates have been doing a little bit better, the government bonds have done less better. So the flight to government bonds was strong at the beginning, and now the flight over to corporate bonds a little bit stronger. Doesn't mean that one's better than another right now. If we needed to get out of something, we'll get out of it. If we need to get rid of one bond fund and pick up a different bond fund in its place, we're going to do that. But right now, we still like that mix. We like what the mix is doing. It's like you said, it's only 3 weeks, and you can't really judge any of them good or bad. They're as a team, that's how we look at it. It's a team environment of trying to get the biggest return we can get on those bonds with the least amount of risk. That's what we're trying to do. And we can't all have, we're not gonna just put it all in like one bond fund and then move it to another bond fund and then move it to another bond fund. So we need to have like a team of bonds because they will act a little bit differently. They will work a little bit differently. And then each one has their own individual mutual fund manager and ETF manager managing that. That will have different mix of bonds inside that kind of alters the returns a little bit too. So sorry to get a little nerdy on my answer back to you. It was definitely a more technical question, but think of it as it's a team environment, and sometimes you're gonna have players that perform a little better, and then that's gonna rotate. The players that were performing better are now not gonna perform as good, and the weaker players are now gonna start to perform better. You know, it's the same kind of environment. So good question there. You're welcome. Any other last minute questions? All right, guys, well, thank you so much for being part of our teleconference. Again, shoot us your emails. I want to thank everybody so much for your time here today. I'll send out an email again on Monday. I don't know how much longer we're going to continue doing Monday emails and Wednesday teleconferences. When we kind of stop, we'll kind of let you know. I want to make this relevant information, and I don't want to just put out information for the sake of putting it out. I want to make sure this is useful. So, again, please share our name with your friends and share the experience that you're getting with us and the service that you're getting from us. With your friends, if you wouldn't mind, we'd appreciate you helping the community like we want to help as well. On that, you guys have a great day. Please be safe and be healthy. Take care. I am. Just taking my drink.
Good job. You got a prize and some business.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I like my little prizes.
I know.
I feel like I just got done with a major accomplishment, and then you just bring me a bunch of work.
Didn't you do little guns? The guns.
How about Vince's compliment? That's nice. And I got that last name. I just got the first name wrong. I said his brother's name.
You handled that bond question very well. That was funny. It came up in our discussions earlier today. At the end, the IMF, the one fund, you know, you said, hey, some things go up, some things go down. Flight to, you know, it was done well. It was good.
Good. Good. You liked it? Everything goes. I put a
it
lot.
Just the beginning, I was on that Zoom, but I got that.
So what time did you get timed in?
I don't know. well before your question answer period.
Okay. So. Yeah, this was probably my favorite of the four teleconferences I've done, and I walked into this one already thinking that because I just liked.
You felt a lot easier.
Well, I felt
you were easier with it. I mean, comfortable.
Well, I'm probably gonna get more and more comfortable every time I do it. But there were some things I said that I had in there that I thought this is good. This is different. It's just not stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was comparing it. What I think I liked the most was comparing the news that people get their news from versus the news that we get our information from, and give a couple of examples of that. And I said that this morning, and it was kind of fun to have the humor of it. And I talked about, did you hear the Kansas City Chiefs story?
No, I came in after that.
Okay.
So
I just thought, that was just kind of fun to be able to kind of share some of that stuff.
Oh, yeah. And I think people appreciate a little bit of levity and a person on the phone rather than stiff.
Well, that's the goal, is to make this personable and intimate.
Oh, sure.
And not be stuffy with a whole lot of data.
That's what they like about you and this firm. It's we're not just, like calling Fidelity and getting on, with somebody. So that's good. Yeah, it's done well, Mark. I think your idea of doing this has really served our firm well. I think so.
Well, thank you. Sure. Appreciate the compliment.
That's for sure. That's true. Very good, sir. Thank you.
It was good. let it dry.